As we come to God's Word, let us first go to God in prayer and seek His blessing. Almighty God, as we open the 7th chapter of Hosea, we find this a challenging book because so much of your anger and your discipline of Israel is emphasized. It would be easy to stop thinking of you as loving and think of you as just an angry God, but we know that's not true. Help us to see that in this chapter, as well as the lessons you're teaching us, and open our eyes to behold wondrous things in your prophet. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, beloved, we come to Hosea chapter 7, verses 1 through 16. Here is God's word. When I would heal Israel, the iniquity of Ephraim is uncovered, and the evil deeds of Samaria, for they deal falsely. The thief enters in, bandits raid outside, and they do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their deeds are all around them. They are before my face. With their wickedness they make the king glad, and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, like an oven heated by the baker, who ceases to stir up the fire from the kneading of the dough until it is leavened. On the day of our king, the princes became sick with the heat of wine. He stretched out his hand with scoffers, for their hearts are like an oven as they approach their plotting. Their anger smolders all night. In the morning, it burns like a flaming fire. All of them are hot like an oven, and they consume their rulers. All their kings have fallen. None of them calls on me. Ephraim mixes himself with the nations. Ephraim has become a cake not turned. Strangers devour his strength, yet he does not know it. Gray hairs also are sprinkled on him, yet he does not know it. Though the pride of Israel testifies against him, yet they have not returned to the Lord their God, nor have they sought him for all this. So Ephraim has become like a silly dove without sense. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. When they go, I will spread my net over them. I will bring them down like the birds of the sky. I will chastise them in accordance with the proclamation to their assembly. Woe to them, for they have betrayed me. Destruction is theirs, for they have rebelled against me. I would redeem them, but they speak lies against me, and they do not cry to me from their heart. When they wail on their beds for the sake of grain and new wine, they assemble themselves. They turn away from me. Although I trained and strengthened their arms, yet they devise evil against me. They turn, but not upward. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes will fall by the sword because of the insolence of their tongue. This will be their derision in the land of Egypt. God's word. I think back to my childhood, and I have an awful memory of watching a father take off his belt and use it on his son. The man was angry at his son's disrespect and arrogance, but that does not excuse him or any other father for doing that. Now, I mention this because when we read some of these chapters and other chapters in Scripture where God's anger is expressed, it would be easy for us to make the mistake that there's no love in his heart, and that what he's doing is venting his anger on his people. But I mention what I remember about that father in order to say this. That is not what Yahweh is doing here. Yes, he is angry, and his words to Israel reflect that. But I want to emphasize that what is most prominent in this passage is not anger and resentment and bitterness or cruelty. What underlies all he says and all he will do comes out of love for his people, not hatred or pride. I find proof of this here in our text and also in its context. Look at 1a. When I would heal Israel. In verse 13, the third part of the verse, I would redeem them. And in 5:13, we read again as we go back that he awaits their acknowledgement of guilt. Yahweh is clearly troubled by their straying from him, and he wants them to return. He loves them, But because they will not return, he will punish them. But it has nothing to do with hatred or bitter anger. It's because God loves them too much to leave them to destroy themselves permanently by their sin that he does what he's saying he's going to do in this chapter. And in that context, in the context of all that, we see three things in our passage. The first thing we see are the sins and depravity of Israel. When Yahweh sought to heal Israel of its sin, all he found was iniquity, heinous and terrible sin and evil deeds, lies and criminal activity. Look at the first three verses. When I would heal Israel, when I wanted to heal them, you see, the iniquity of Ephraim is uncovered, and the evil deeds of Samaria, for they deal falsely. The thief enters in, bandits reign outside, and they do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their deeds are all around them. They are before my face. With their wickedness, they make the king glad and the princes with their lies. When Yahweh sought to heal them, that's what he saw. And Yahweh is holy. And so he cannot overlook the iniquity of Ephraim, also known as Israel and also known as Samaria. When he sees the iniquity of Ephraim and Israel, he must punish it because he's holy. And they, his people, deal falsely with each other. We saw that in chapter 4 and verse 2. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence, so that bloodshed follows bloodshed, not the works of those who love their brothers in the Lord. Israel is a company of thieves and bandits attacking and stealing from each other. Attacking and stealing from each other. Can you believe it? Even the priests do it. They have no thought. No concern that God sees what they're doing or remembers what they're doing. They do it anyway. And even their king approves. And their princes like their dishonesty. They are, in God's eyes, adulterers. Israel was his wife. But they've committed adultery on him, harlotry. They were God's cheating Old Testament church. Remember, they worship idols, not God. And he says they're hot as an oven, baking leavened dough, verses 4 through 6. They are all adulterers, like an oven heated by the baker who ceases to stir up the fire from the kneading of the dough until it is leavened. On the day of our king, the princes become sick with the heat of wine. He stretched out his hand with scoffers, for their hearts are like an oven as they approach their plotting. Their anger smolders all night. In the morning, it burns like a flaming fire. The king and the princes are like bakers who enjoy seeing their people rise like bread in their passion. They like to see them committing sexual offenses. And the reference to wine here may well refer to the kings and princes taking part in drunken orgies along with the people. And for all the fun they have, these leaders are the object of numerous plots against them. And the history of the Old Testament records no less than three kings of Israel were murdered. Zechariah was murdered by Shalem, who was murdered by Menachem, who committed mass murder. Pekahiah was murdered by Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and Pekah himself was murdered, you see. It's a bloody mess, literally a bloody mess. Israel is so proud that in the midst of all this horror and depravity, that they don't repent or return to the Lord for help at all, verses 8 through 10. Ephraim mixes with the nations. Ephraim has become a cake not turned. Strangers devour his strength, yet he does not know it. Gray hairs also are sprinkled on him, yet he doesn't know it. He's growing old, and he still doesn't understand what he's doing. Though the pride of Israel testifies against him, yet they have not returned to the Lord their God, nor have they sought him for all of this. They turn to the nations. Egypt, do you see the irony of them turning to Egypt? Where did God save them from? Why? Yes, we read it in Exodus through Deuteronomy. They saved them from Egypt. And Assyria pretends to help. When they go for help there, they only pretend to help because they want to dominate them. And so he says that Israel is like a cake or a loaf of bread in an oven that is not turned, and so it burns. And so Israel will burn by God's hand. Israel will burn in exile. Generation after generation will perish. Yahweh will not allow them to exist as a nation in this sinful condition. Their doom is already written. The second thing I want you to see here is Yahweh's response to the sins and depravity of Israel. We just described those sins and depravity in detail, and this is Yahweh's response. He begins by ridiculing them and says he'll bring them down for straying from him. They act like doves that take food that's laid in a trap to catch them. They give no thought to the danger from God it puts them in. God will use this stupidity to chastise them. He's going to use the nations they turn to, Egypt and Assyria, to punish them. They will become captive exiles in Assyria and Egypt because they have strayed from Yahweh, and for this they're suffering from their sin now, and still they do not cry to him but go to Assyria and Egypt, 11 and 12. So Ephraim has become like a silly dove without sense. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. When they go, I'll spread my net over them. I'll bring them down like the birds of the sky. I will chastise them in accordance with the proclamation to their assembly. They will be brought down because they have turned away from him. And as they begin to fall into exile, they devise evil against a God. Look at verses 13 and 14. Woe to them, for they have strayed from me. Destruction is theirs, for they have rebelled against me. I would redeem them, but they speak lies against me, and they do not cry to me from their heart when they wail on their beds. For the sake of grain and new wine, they assemble themselves. They turn away from me. And again, do you see the irony here? They're actually doing what their forefathers wanted to do. Remember, let's go back to Egypt where there's food. Well, they're going to Egypt for food along with Assyria. Yahweh wants to redeem them, but they refuse to commit themselves to him again. They refuse to look to him for help, but rely on these foreign nations. It's like someone who's sinking in quicksand, and someone holds out a very strong rope and says, catch it, I'll get you out of there. And they refuse to catch the rope, and they just continue sinking and sinking and sinking until they drown in the quicksand. They are treacherous toward Yahweh. Their princes will fall as a result, and they will return to Egypt where they started so many centuries ago. 15 and 16, that though I trained and strengthened their arms, yet they devise evil against me. It's like a son whose father taught him to lift weights and do exercise, and he has muscles on muscles. He can lift anything. And what he does is he lifts his father up and throws him into a pit. That's what it's like. Although I trained and strengthened their arms, yet they devise evil against me. They turn, but not upward. They're like a deceitful bow. Their princes will fall by the sword because of the insolence of their tongue. This will be their derision in the land of Egypt. God taught them for centuries of his faithfulness, his reliability, his love. He took them from Egypt and into the promised land over the course of 40 years. And even that was because took that long because they were stubborn even back then. And they don't seem to have changed, do they? And it became part of their scriptures, the record of God's deliverance out of Egypt. Understand, they had scriptures. They had Genesis through the writings of Samuel, at least. And they had the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and maybe a couple of the minor prophets, too. But they ignored them. So in response, Yahweh says, go ahead back to Egypt. And he sends them back there. And lets them learn the hard way before setting Assyria's kings over them. So it's to Egypt, and through Egypt, they end up under Assyria. And there they will be until the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, when God, through Cyrus, the king of Persia, will graciously send them back to rebuild the temple and begin to prepare Israel to receive their Messiah. We're talking about a century of punishment here for Israel. Okay, the history lesson we see, and I hope we understand it. But what should we take away from this passage as Christians, saved from our bondage to sin as by God's grace through Jesus Christ? What are we to do with this? Well, first, never ever think you are better than even the worst of the Israelites God sent Hosea to. Don't ever read this story, this history, and say, I wouldn't have done that. Israel turned to idols, and you better believe that you and I are capable of doing the same thing. For example, what do you trust in for your happiness? Where do you turn for help when you're in trouble? Is your first call to Christ, or is it to someone else? Yeah, I'm being picky, but it matters to the Lord, because if you're turning to others before the Lord, those people are your idols. And when life gets hard, do you turn to alcohol, an excess of food? Do you turn to drugs? You like to get high when life gets hard, on marijuana? Or perhaps you have personal sinful habits that no one knows about but you turn to them when you're feeling down? When you are overwhelmed by life and its challenges, by political situations that shock you, do you get angry, depressed? Do you burn in quiet frustration? You're not any better than even the worst of the Israelites that God sent Hosea to when you're acting in those ways. Second takeaway, examine where you do take comfort from in awful days, and then ask yourself, am I daily turning to my Father in heaven in prayer and pleading for his grace and protection from temptation and from my sinful tendencies? Another question you ought to ask yourself. Do I ever find myself running away from the hardships of life and pandemics and the anger of unbelievers and into temptation's ways? Third question you should ask yourself. Do I have times when I console myself by indulging in personal and secret sinful thoughts or habits rather than by looking to God's promises and asking him to keep them and comfort you? Those are cutting questions. I feel the weight of them myself. Do you see where I'm going with this? Israel turned to drink, sexual sin, criminal activity, and other sins to feel like life was enjoyable in tough days that were really God's punishment for sin. They sought to change their political leadership by murder, revolution, and violent overthrow. And they had the approval of what served as the church in doing it, because the priests and prophets were also approving it. And in their toughest times, by the way, I should say those would have been false prophets, and in their toughest times, they turned from their God, from Yahweh who loved them, and instead trusted in men and other nations, and most of all, in themselves. What they never did was repent of their sins, humble themselves, and pray for God to save them from themselves and their sins. So if you're following the narrative of Scripture, just say bye-bye to Israel for about a century before the Lord returns them to the promised land. Now, my dear, dear friends and brethren, it is far too easy to look back at this tragic time in Israel's history and think, I would never do as they did. I would not have sinned like that. Brethren, that is presumption, pride, and arrogance. Please permit me to be very personal. It breaks my own heart to know that I'm very capable of doing those things. Indeed, I wish I could change much of what my life was like in hard times before I went to seminary. And I was a professing and church-going Christian when I sinned in those days. And now, like you, one of my struggles is to be faithful in dependence upon Christ and his grace. And by the way, every Christian struggles it from time to time. That's no sin. In fact, it's important that you do struggle. It means you're fighting, and the Lord's fighting for you. It's a struggle, though, to look to God for help to cope in these hard days we've been through for close to a year now. And in a sense, the answer is really simple. If you find yourself struggling with faithfulness, be honest with God about the hard parts of life these days. And then be honest about your inability to change yourself, your inability to repent, and about the fact that the only difference between you and Israel back then is that you know the Messiah and have been saved by him by God's grace from your sin and his punishment. And the way to not go down as Israel did is not to work harder. That's not the way to do it, but to draw as close to Jesus as you can and trust him by his grace with all your heart. You're going to have ups and downs. You're going to fall down. You're going to hurt yourself spiritually. That's okay. Confess your sin and ask God for larger supplies of grace to honestly confess your sin, and even larger supplies of the grace of repentance unto life, and grace to love and obey him and pray much more than you do. Now that is a prayer he will surely answer. May God grant us all his grace to walk faithfully as Israel should have, and to love Christ more than we do now. But my friend, if you're not a Christian, read John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life." And then repent of your sin and believe in Jesus. God loves you very much. He really does. Look to him always and rest in the mighty arms of Jesus and ask him in these difficult days to carry you safely all the way to heaven. Amen. Our Father and our God, we are aware that we often pull away from you to indulge ourselves in our sins and habits. We ask for grace to stop doing that and to remain close to you, to heed your word and claim your promises and trust you. Please save us from our sins more and more fully as we approach the day when either Christ will return or we'll be in your presence. Make us more and more like Christ, who in his lifetime always lived to do what you told him to do and was faithful to the point of death, even the death of the cross. O Lord, may we live crucified lives and the lives of those who are raised from the dead with Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.